Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare! All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Yay! I'm Erin, and I'm happy to see Diana.
And I'm Diana, and I'm happy to see Erin, and I'm happy to be here with you guys. I just loved her face, though. You can't see it, but she was all like, yay! So cute. So cute.
So just a little, what do I want to say? Preface? Preamble? Mm-hmm. Something? Mm-hmm. Two things, actually. One is Arya's not going to join us because whatever. Yeah, but maybe we'll do, he and I'll do a little separate thing and throw it up.
Okay.
Throw it up. the other thing is we because we had a miscommunication, we are kind of flying by the seat of our pants in a way. Diana usually does some in-depth prep work, and because we had a miscommunication, we're just doing this.
Yeah.
Without her normal scholarship and insight and all that. So, you know, just be aware of that.
It's all right.
This is us raw.
It's also a very short scene.
Right. So, and we know the scene well.
Hopefully it won't suffer too much. There's a couple little interesting bits to it. And it is the one and only scene where we see King Edward. So this is it. His hello. Goodbye. Hello, goodbye, so long, farewell.
Farewell.
How do we manage to tie Richard III into the Trap family?
Or as Thalia always called it, the Squareheads musical.
The Squareheads.
and for the longest time, we didn't understand what she was talking about. Like, we didn't get it. And then we were like, oh, the nun's habits are square. And then that Halloween, after the first time she saw the movie, I said, so I'm going to, because she made then the connection between nuns and the squareheads and the habits. So I said, I'm going to go as a nun. And she said, but mommy, your head's not square. I was like, oh, honey, it's a hat.
It's a hat.
It's a hat.
So does that mean we could call Measure for Measure the Squareheads play?
We can. We can call it the Squareheads play.
Got it. At first, when you said that, I thought Squareheads like Nazis. Squareheads.
Oh. Oh.
Like, no. You know, all severe looking and haircuts. I don't know. That's where my head went. That's where my Squarehead went. Oh, my. What a weird tangent we're on here.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Going back. So, this is Act 2, Scene 1, as we said. So, we've left Act 1 behind. We know most of the characters that are going to be involved in this thing, except for Edward, as stated. He is only in this one. And it says, enter King Edward, sick.
Yes.
Yes.
We've already established that he's sick. Yes. You know, the whole thing that came before where they're talking about, where Elizabeth says, did you see the king today? How is he?
He's not doing well. Hastings is like, oh, he's, you know, overconsumed. All things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's served his purpose. And that's it. And so
moving the play along.
Moving the play along. And plus he had a good long stint in Henry VI, 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So he is trying to reconcile all the people in his life before he leaves this planet, this plane. And he's very well aware that they don't get along.
Well, because they're all yakking at him from different sides. They're like,
beep, 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 this one's taken over here, and this one's interfering here, and blah, 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 and this one sent my brother to the tower, and yeah, all the stuff. So not only did he have to live through the Wars of the Roses and be a key player there, now he's like the Wars of the Bitches. He's like, for fuck's sake. Shut up.
Leave me alone. Yeah, I'm dying. So
he just wants to see them all shake hands before he dies. Yes. Just do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, and we saw them get summoned.
Yes. Earlier. They're all summoned. Catesby said, come quickly. It says
King
Robin.
Wants you.
Yep. He wants you. Yeah. So then everyone swears, oh, I love you. Handshake, kiss your hand, blah, blah. And then Richard comes in and does what he does best.
He drops a shit bomb.
A shit bomb. Which he begins by saying, I love everybody. I'm so happy to be here. And then the queen says, yeah, let's bring Clarence back so he can shake hands too. And he's like, you fucking bitch, he's dead. What do you mean? And nobody else knows he's dead, of course.
Right.
He's the only one. So he's like, what? Am I the only one? How did I be the only one that knew? You know.
Yeah, how did I be the only
how
one
did that I knew? Be?
Huh? How come nobody went, how he be the only one that knew?
How he knows this.
How he knows this. Yeah. Yeah.
But
oh,
I guess
boy.
It was
okay.
Enough of a shock that they didn't quite stop.
No, they were all like,
Yeah. So then Edward has this incredible speech afterwards. Well, because Stanley, Earl of Derby, who we met before, he comes running in just at that moment, and he has this whole plea about King Edward, can you please pardon my servant who killed someone in a drunken, you know, mania, and he didn't mean it, and, you know, he's languishing in the prison, and he doesn't deserve that. And Edward is like, are you fucking kidding me? My brother is dead and he was languishing in a prison and I wasn't able to save him because none of y'all bitches told me, you know, you should pardon him. And you, are you kidding me with the servant? No. And so he has this incredible speech where he's asking who told me anything? Who helped me? Who? And you'll see that the way that he speaks, it sounds like an owl.
And the owl is the harbinger of death.
Yes.
Death.
He's like his own harbinger. Like, I'm my own grandpa. You know that one? Yeah.
I don't know that one.
No? It's a popular song down in the South.
Woo! You learn something new every day.
Every day. Yeah. So he's his own harbinger of death, which is really, really cool. And I love that. And I didn't discover that until after I directed the play for the first time. And I was hearing it in performance. And I was like, wow, why do you sound like an owl? That's bizarre. And that's the only, I discovered it long after the fact. So, you know, it's never too late.
Never too late.
And then everyone leaves. Everyone swoops out of the room because Edward's like, oh, don't feel so well. And... all we have after that is a speech of Richard's and one line of Buckingham's. But the stage directions say some exit with Edward and Elizabeth. So I think it's really interesting as a director's choice to say, who stays?
Right.
Who might be the ones who stand behind and realize Edward's going, what's next if Clarence is dead? And they might all just kind of peek over at Richard and think, right?
Time to align myself.
Right. Yeah. So the lines are being drawn. Battle lines are being drawn. Mm. All right. So for a short little scene, it's got a lot of interesting things going on.
Great.
Let's do it. It's got a lot of characters. So you're going to hear me and Aaron talk to ourselves. It's fine.
But we'll say who we are.
Yeah. Flourish. Dun da da da. Enter King Edward, sick, and all the rest of yibbity-bidibbity. King Edward, why so? Now have I done a good day's work. You peers continue this united league. I every day expect an embassage from my redeemer to redeem me hence. And now in peace my soul shall part to heaven, since I have set my friends at peace on earth. Rivers and Hastings, take each other's hand. Dissemble not your hatred. Swear your love.
You peers continue this united league.
Well, I think we're coming in mid-conversation, so he's already probably told them some part of what he expects of them. Mm-hmm. And part of that is a united league. He wants them to work together. Mm-hmm. We came this far. We killed so many people. We've lost so many people. Come on, man.
But he also has some keening sounds in there.
Yeah,
redeemer, redeem me.
Yeah. My redeemer is capitalized. Mm-hmm. And in peace, my soul shall part heaven. And peace on earth. So I need peace. I need, is really what he's saying. But I want to go in a good way. Yeah.
Dissemble not your hatred, swear your love.
I love that antithesis, hatred and love. So don't lie. Don't say something that you don't mean. Please swear your love. All right.
And rivers, by heaven, my heart is purged from grudging hate, and with my hands I seal my true heart true. And with my hand, I seal my true heart's love.
Nice. Purged is great. That implies fire. That's the fire of hatred in a way. So, okay. All right. My fire is burnt out. Hastings. So thrive I as I truly swear the like. King Edward. Take heed. You dally not before your king. Don't fuck with me. And then he's going to do this thing that Clarence actually just did in the last scene, using the word king and going straight to the King of Kings, God, because the king sits right underneath God in the
King of
hierarchy.
Kings. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. In the hierarchy of beings, there's the king right next to God. Take heed you dally not before your king, lest he that is the supreme King of Kings confound your hidden falsehood and award either of you to be the other's end. Ooh, prophetic.
Award either of you. Award.
Yeah. So if you remember when Hastings came out of prison, Richard said those that were your enemies are also Clarence's enemies, and he was implying Rivers and Grey, all of
and
the
Elizabeth.
Yep.
All Elizabeth. Of
the relatives of Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. I don't know what happened there. Oh,
and Edward is saying that if you lie, God will know, right?
Right.
The King of Kings will confound your hidden falsehood. He will figure it out. And then he will, this is interesting, award either of you to be the other's end, meaning he will make it so that one of you kills the other. Whoa. All right. And so Hastings jumps in. So prosper I as I swear perfect love.
Rivers. And I as I love Hastings with my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then Edward turns to his queen. Madam, yourself are not exempt in this, nor you, son Dorset, Buckingham, nor you. You have been factious one against the other. Wife. Love Lord Hastings. Let him kiss your hand. And what you do, do it unfeignedly. Nice word.
Without falseness.
Without right. lying.
Queen Elizabeth, hear, Hastings. I will never more remember our former hatred. So thrive I and mine.
Great. And you don't need a stage direction for here, Hastings, because Edward said, give him your hand, which was a great favor for a queen to allow somebody to kiss their hand. Okay. Yeah. So it's a big deal. And Edward, Dorset, embrace him. Hastings, love Lord Marquess. And Dorset, this interchange of love I here protest upon my part shall be inviolable. It's a little formal.
Dorset's a weird little fellow.
He is a weird little fellow. And he really sounds sort of, you know, like florid and, you know, bit like he's trying too hard.
Well,
he's new at this whole thing.
Yeah.
So I protest and, you know, upon my part, which kind of implies that he's like, I will swear my side, but what about the other guy?
Mm-hmm.
And Hastings jumps right in. And so swear I, my lord. Edward. Now, princely Buckingham, seal thou this league with thy embracements to my wife's allies, and make me happy in your unity.
Interesting. Princely Buckingham.
Yeah, Margaret called him that too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was part of a very, very powerful family, actually. And so he could have, if you know, the in the Tudors, Duke of Buckingham actually had a bit of a rebellion against Henry VIII, and a bit, I'm saying, he had a rebellion against Henry VIII, garnered some supporters for himself to be king. Hmm. So they were in line for the crown because they were very powerful. I mean, a little bit far removed, but he jumped.
But they
the
were
line.
All related. I mean,
they were all related, yeah.
Right. Okay, so Buckingham. Whenever Buckingham doth turn his hate on you or yours, but with all duteous love doth cherish you and yours, God punish me with hate in those where I expect most love. When I have most need to employ a friend, and most assured that he is a friend, deep, hollow, treacherous, and full of guile be he unto me. This do I beg of God when I am cold in zeal to yours.
Wow, what did he just do to himself?
Well, he set himself up, didn't he? I mean, God's really listening.
Yeah.
If you buy God,
he does. You know, we have to always keep that in mind. These people are very religious people, in whichever faction they choose, but they are believers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whenever, if I don't cherish you all, you and yours, Edward and Queen Elizabeth and all of your relatives, then God punish me with hate where I most expect love.
Mm-hmm.
So hatred in the person that I most trust and most think that I should be alive.
Can trust.
Yeah. Deep, hollow, and treacherous, incredible words, full of guile be he unto me. Boy, he's describing Richard. He really is. When I'm cold in zeal to yours, let me have this. Look at, so we talk about this often in plays, different plays. And if we haven't talked about it in this one yet. So if you haven't heard others that we've done, I'm just going to mention this, which is that the line endings, when you speak a line of verse and then you take your breath and then you speak the next line of verse, those line ending words are really interesting because they hang in the air for a fleeting second while you're taking a breath. And so they are the ones that stand out a bit as an audience member when you're listening. And I just want you to look at these line ending words. Aaron, you want to read them?
Hate. Love, me, love, friend, friend, guile, God, yours.
Wow. Mm. That's quite a blueprint for that speech, isn't that?
Yeah.
Hate, love, great, already starting with, and we have love again. Friend, friend. What he thinks of as friends might not be friends because it's followed by the word guile.
Yes.
And then guile, God. It's almost like I am blaspheming right here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. But Edward takes it on face value. Edward. A pleasing cordial, princely Buckingham. Is this thy vow unto my sickly heart? There wanteth now our brother Gloucester here to make the perfect period of this peace.
Where's Richard?
Where's Richard? I need him to finish
off
this.
We need Richard.
Pleasing cordial. So this is a lovely medicine that you're giving me, Buckingham. And now I need my brother to finish off this whole deal.
And princely again. He's princely again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Buckingham. And in good time, here comes the noble Duke. And here comes Richard. Good morrow to my sovereign king and queen and princely peers. A happy time of day.
Yeah, so he comes in all cheery-like, right?
Yeah. Ah, la, la.
Edward. Happy indeed as we have spent the day. Brother, we have done deeds of charity, made peace of enmity, fair love of hate, between these swelling, wrong-incensed peers. So they're incensed by wrong. They've been, boiling up because of wrongs that they think other people have done them. So this wrong and censored is really wonderful. So we've made peace of enmity. We've made enemies into peaceful people. We've made love out of hate. It's almost like he's an alchemist here. Really interesting.
And Richard Gloucester. A blessed labor, my most sovereign liege, amongst this princely heap, if any here, by false intelligence or wrong surmise, hold me a foe. If I unwittingly or in my rage have aught committed that is hardly borne by any in this presence, I desire to reconcile me to his friendly peace. 'Tis death to me to be at enmity. I hate it and desire all good men's love.
Wow, really?
Okay. He is good with words, though. I'll give him that.
Yes. So he's like, oh, you've done such good work. I want to be part of this, right? Mm-hmm. If anybody thinks I'm their enemy because I hate people being enemies.
If I've done anything that was taken badly by any of y'all.
Yeah. And it's interesting because so far in this play, and in this room full, I mean, besides words, there isn't any action that anyone can point to yet.
Right.
That is offensive. Just words and his face and his body.
Right, which they find offensive, right?
They find offensive, yeah. So I desire all good men's love.
First, madam, I entreat true peace of you, which I will purchase with my duteous service. Of you, my noble cousin Buckingham, if ever any grudge were lodged between us, of you, Lord Rivers and Lord Grey, of you, that without desert.
Desert, yeah. So without my deserving, you have frowned on me, right?
Yeah, that without desert have frowned on me. Dukes, earls, lords, gentlemen, indeed, of all. I do not know that Englishman alive with whom my soul is any jot at odds more than the infant that is born tonight. I thank my God for my humility.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe that last line was overdoing it just a tad.
Yeah,
just a bit.
Just a little bit.
A bit. So first, madam, I entreat true peace of you, which my duty of service would have been to take a knee. So that would be a big deal for someone who is disabled, right?
Yes,
That they have to... You know, for him to get down to his knee would be a lot.
It might be hard to get up and down without
so
help.
Showing right? how much it means to him to have her goodwill.
And he's entreating peace of Buckingham if there was ever anything between them.
He doesn't think so, but they are not allied quite yet. We'll see. And then Rivers Grey, but he knows that they don't like him.
Right.
And everybody, I just love all the Englishmen, even the baby that's born tonight.
Queen and Elizabeth. A holy day shall this be kept hereafter. I would to God all strifes were well compounded. My sovereign liege, I do beseech your majesty to take our brother Clarence to your grace. And Richard.
Oh.
Why, madam. Have I offered love for this to be so flouted in this royal presence? Who knows not that the noble duke is dead? You do him injury to scorn his course. So she's like, let's all be happy together and let's free Clarence. And Richard's like, how dare you, bitch? He's dead.
Yeah, to be so flouted, I'm you're mocking me in the presence of the king. How dare you?
And you're scorning his corpse.
Scorn his corpse. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rivers, who knows not he is dead? Who knows he is? Queen Elizabeth, all seeing heaven, what a world is this? Buckingham, oh God, it's all me. Buckingham, look I so pale, Lord Dorset, as the rest?
He's asking confirmation of Dorset.
Right. Do I look as bad as I feel?
Everyone else? Yeah.
Do I look as bad as everybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Dorset. Aye, my good lord, and no one in this presence but his red color hath forsook his cheeks.
Everyone's pale.
Edward, is Clarence dead? The order was reversed.
Richard, but he, poor soul, by your first order died. And that a winged Mercury did
winged.
And that a winged Mercury did bear. Some tardy cripple bore the countermand that came too lag to see him buried. God grant that some, less noble and less loyal, nearer in bloody thoughts but not in blood, deserve not worse than wretched Clarence did, and yet go current from suspicion. Ooh, dropping that stuff in the king's ear. Yeah. Little poison in your ear there, kingy.
Little poison in your ear. Yeah. We had a whole conversation in my class today about breaching the thresholds of the body. Mm. And like poison in the ear was a common theme in the history plays. Hamlet, obviously. Yeah. Mm. So I love this, you know, a winged Mercury took your first order and a tardy cripple. He's the tardy cripple.
He's the tardy cripple.
Tardy cripple brought the cancel order.
Didn't get there in time.
Nope.
Damn.
Good. And this is tricky. God grant that some less noble and less loyal, nearer in bloody thoughts, but not in blood. So again, the whole Rivers and Gray family.
Yes,
he's like,
right.
Oh, I hope that one of those people doesn't deserve such a treatment as Clarence had.
Yeah.
Right? And yet go current from suspicion. And you know,
you don't suspect them at all.
Yeah. And yeah. They somehow get away from being suspected. Yeah.
Yes. Suspicioned.
Suspicioned. I do think that's a lengthened word. And yet go current from suspicion. Mm. Right? Yeah. So it's a big word to kind of drop there at the end of that speech. Mm. And then here comes Darby running in and he's asking for
a favor.
A favor. Yeah. A boon, my sovereign, for my service done. Edward, I pray thee peace. My soul is full of sorrow. Darby, I will not rise unless your highness grant. Edward.
Wait, so that's an embedded stage direction.
I'm down on my knee. He would anyway if he'd come
anyway,
into
but
the king's presence. Yes.
Yes.
But he's also begging for something. He's asking mm-hmm. for something. I'm not going to get up until you say I can have it. A boon is a favor, yeah. Then Edward, then speak at once. What is it thou demandst? Darby, the forfeit, sovereign, of my servant's life, who slew today a righteous gentleman, lately attendant on the Duke of Norfolk. So he's asking his servant's life to be pardoned, and because he killed a guy, lately attendant on the Duke of Norfolk. It's just so random. Yeah, he was a guy.
A righteous gentleman who attended the Duke of Norfolk.
Yeah. And then Edward is just like, give me a fucking break. Have I a tongue to doom my brother's death? And shall the same give pardon to a slave? My brother slew no man. His fault was thought. And yet his punishment was cruel death. Who sued to me for him? Who, in my rage, kneeled at my feet and bade me be advised? Who spake of brotherhood? Who spake of love? Who told me how the poor soul did forsake the mighty Warwick and did fight for me? Who told me in the field by Tewkesbury, when Oxford had me down, he rescued me and said, dear brother, live and be a king? Who told me, when we both lay in the field, frozen almost to death, how he did lap me even in his own garments and gave himself all thin and naked to the numb cold night? All this from my remembrance, brutish wrath, sinfully hath plucked, and not a man of you had so much grace to put it in my mind. I'm going to stop there and do this part of the speech. So you heard it, the who. And he's like, how could I send my brother to death and care one fucking whit about this servant,
this guy who actually did kill someone?
Actually
my brother didn't kill anybody. My
he
brother actually, you know, who, like, why didn't any of you, when I was so enraged, tell me he was my brother who told, you know, who... He's like remembering all the things that Clarence did, that George did for him.
Yeah. and that anyone in his court should have put in his mind to remind him that his brother shouldn't be in prison. This was really interesting. My brother slew no man. His fault was thought. So apparently in this time period, that there was a tendency to, in the law, in legal terms, to want to start prosecuting the intention, the thought to do something. So that's an interesting little phrase there. You know, so we have like the equivocator, right? The equivocator in Macbeth is the one who just gives people the idea to do something, but he can talk his way around the actual guilt of the something.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. And yet his punishment was death. So who sued, who kneeled, who spoke of brotherhood, who reminded me how he left Warwick and came back to me and fought with me at Tewkesbury. He rescued me from Oxford, who was, you know, going to beat me. This amazing image of he wrapped me in his own clothes and he lay there naked and freezing, naked, you know, naked in just his clothes probably. And then at all of this, from my remembrance, brutish wrath sinfully plucked. So I was so angry and I was forgetting all this stuff, but you guys didn't help me remember it.
Right.
So he's blaming them. Yeah. But you know, when you're this adamant about blaming somebody else, it's just to cover up your own guilt.
Because he could have done any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was king. He is king. Yeah. Right. All right. But when your carters or your waiting vassals have done a drunken slaughter and defaced the precious image of our dear Redeemer, you straight are on your knees for pardon, pardon, and I unjustly too must grant it you. But for my brother not a man would speak, nor I ungracious speak unto myself. For him, poor soul, the proudest of you all, have been beholding to him in his life, yet none of you would once plead for his life. Oh God, I fear thy justice will take hold on me, on you, and mine and yours for this. Come, Hastings, help me to my closet. Oh, poor Clarence. So we know Hastings goes with him. Okay. That's good.
Wait, I want to stop for 1 second.
Yes, absolutely. So when your carters, the guys who drive your carts, or your waiting vassals, your servants, have done a drunken slaughter and defaced. And he has the word redeemer for the second time in the
dear redeemer.
Yeah, he's going to meet his maker and he's thinking about him and how he's going to appear at the pearly gates, right? Has defaced the precious image. So you have besmirched the face of God with your, you know, your stupid slave who killed somebody, right?
Thou shalt not kill. Yeah, I think there's something in here. There's something in here that's a foreshadowing of the idea of being, you know, yes men undoing kings.
Nice. Oh, I like that. The foreshadowing. Yeah, that nobody during a reign of terror ever speaks, right? Speaks their mind. So that reign of terror is coming soon. Yeah. So this is interesting. So that we can see that all of them in this court are not people who will stand up and speak for justice.
But what would happen to someone who did? You know, if someone had come, I mean, maybe Elizabeth could have done it, you know,
Hastings, he's a big, you know, big supporter of the Yorks. He could have said, hey, he's your brother.
But Hastings also was locked away.
Yeah.
For whatever Hastings, I can't even remember what Hastings was locked away for. So not wanting to be locked up, not wanting to be beheaded there, you know, are people really going to be willing to say?
Yeah.
But I think Elizabeth could have.
Elizabeth could have. What about Princely Buckingham? Could he have said something? Right. He's pretty much a neutral party thus far.
Yeah.
Thus far.
And so some of them go.
Some of them go. Hastings for sure, because the king asks for his help. So,
and Elizabeth certainly goes.
Yes, yeah, Elizabeth, and certainly Dorset and Rivers, I'm sure.
Right, they would go with the queen.
Right, but Darby? He might stay, perhaps, especially since he's been shunned and denied.
And embarrassed.
and embarrassed. Yeah.
Embarrassed in front of.
Would certainly stay. And we'd know that Buckingham stays because he speaks.
And.
All right. So they swoop out.
Yeah.
And Richard looks around the room and makes a comment.
This is the fruit of rashness. Marked you not how that the guilty kindred of the queen looked pale when they did hear of Clarence's death? Oh, they did urge it still unto the king. God will revenge it. Come, let us in to comfort Edward with our company. More poison in the ears. Mm-hmm. Did you see how guilty those guys looked?
Yeah.
Did you notice how pale they were?
Yeah. They all said so. Buckingham said he was pale too. You know,
yes,
so
you know, I know.
Yeah, and they urged it still, so they pointed it out to the king that they, look, I'm pale.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
They pointed it out so that the king would know they were not guilty of this, right?
Right, yeah. That would be funny in this scene if everybody went and pointed at their face.
Yeah, look at my face. I suddenly went pale. Oh, my God.
And Buckingham... with the last line, we wait upon your grace. Your grace.
Yeah. Yeah, your grace. I mean, which is, you know, reasonable for his title as a duke. But it also really, since it's the last line of the scene, it seems to me like, people are switching sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
You seem that way.
Buckingham for sure, because, and then Richard, you'll see him later, or Buckingham will later say, I was the first to take your side. And now the last, he will be the last to be killed.
That's no spoiler.
Everyone's going to go down that road. Sorry
well, almost,
to say.
Almost everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a fun little scene.
Yeah. Cute one.
It's when things really get rolling. This is like the teeter-totter finally going over to the other side.
The tipping point, as
the
they say.
Tipping point.
Yes. Edward was the only piece of the puzzle keeping it together. So you pull out that Jenga piece and it all flippity-bitty-bitty falls over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because as long as there is a king, you know, we can be like, okay, just put everything else on the back burner for the moment.
Right.
Particularly, he's a brother that, you know, that Richard did care about. I mean, he fought for him. He helped him. So.
Right. I wonder what would have happened if Edward had not been an overindulger.
Yeah, if he had lived a long time. Yep. What if? This makes for more dramatic excitement. All right. So we will go on to, obviously, Edward is not going to make it. And that leaves a bit of an opening.
I wonder who will slide in.
Yes. It leaves a chair that needs a butt in it.
Well, all right. I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana.
And this
has been...
Fuck Shakespeare.
Delightfully fucking Shakespeare.
Oh, I do love a delightful fuck. Okay, bye! For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.